This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Disciples of the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
I actually didn't know that the Quran was the very first actual Arabic book. It's quite interesting. And when people say Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, wrote this or came up with this, you got an illiterate person who comes up with a book that actually later on becomes the grammar of the language. It just doesn't make any sense.
Absolutely. Look, the Arabs are very, very strong in literature, in poetry. Their poetry was fascinating. Some of the Arabic poetry from pre-Islamic period is fascinating, right? But they had not necessarily written down these poetical collections in a book form. There were scrolls. They would have scrolls. They would have a long piece of vellum. They would write their poetry in whatever unstandardized text they had pioneered by then. But it was after Islam, after the revelation of the Quran, when the Arabic script was standardized. It was standardized by the companions of the Prophet of Islam. So the Arabic script and the alphabets we have today were actually used in this way, in this form, for the first time by the companions of the Prophet of Islam. Of course, we have earlier forms. Don't get me wrong. There are earlier forms, but they were not standardized. They were not standardized as they are today, right? So there are pre-Islamic inscriptions in Arabia, no doubt, in the Arabic language. But again, they vary from place to place, from town to town, from person to person, or from tribe to tribe. So there was no standardized Arabic text. So why am I telling you all this? I'm telling you all this is because this book or this text was revealed upon an unlettered people who, after the revelation of this particular text, started to read and write. So this book or the revelation of this book or this text caused an educational revolution in Arabia. There was no tradition of children learning how to read and write as young as 5 to 6 or 7 years old. When the kids were that age, they were not necessarily taught by parents to read and write. In fact, in Quraysh, within the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were only 17 people who could read and write. This was a huge privilege. To be able to read and write in the Arabic language was a huge thing among the Arabs. Okay. You would be like a PhD doctor or someone like a professor nowadays, right? I mean, there are many, many professors. Being a professor is not a big deal today in this day and age. But at that time, to be able to read and write was a huge deal. It was a big deal. And what does that show you? That shows you that this was predominantly an unlettered society. Now comes a text with a prophet, right? And he teaches his people to not only memorize this text, write it down as well. You must write it down so that you can read from it. And the first commandment in this text or in this revelation was to read. The very first commandment that came down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in the cave of Hira. The first revelation came down and the angel Gabriel brought the revelation. And the first revelation from the Quran, this very book, what was it? Read in the name of your Lord. Okay, chapter 96 of the Quran, the first 5 verses were revealed upon the Prophet talking about the importance of reading, learning, and the use of pen. So this is the first commandment in the history of Islam given by God Almighty to the final messenger of God. This is a big deal. So this shows you how important learning, reading, writing, book production, bookmaking, and book loving, for that matter, how important all of that is in Islam. Because the first thing God communicated to humanity through his final message to humanity is to read, is to write, learn, educate yourselves. This is the message. So an unlettered man is receiving a message about education. So he taught his companions, and his companions duly learned how to read and write, and they produced large libraries and large collections of manuscripts of the Quran. They started to read and write the Quran. So they had to begin with the Quran. So the first thing they did was to write the Quran, standardize the text of the Quran and the alphabets, and then write the Quran in that particular text. And then what followed was later on, in later generations, in later ages, they started to read and write other books. For example, they started to write hadith, the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They started to write the opinions of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They started to write the opinions of the students of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then by the time we get to the second century of Islam, mid-second century, they are already reading and writing books produced by other civilizations. And they started to translate those books into the Arabic language. So a lot of the Greek literature, Indian literature, Persian literature, Roman literature was translated into the Arabic language in the 8th century, mid-8th century. And after that, the process basically became bigger and bigger, larger and larger. People started to collect books. They started to translate books produced by other civilizations, neighboring civilizations, into the Arabic language. So this is how it happened. The Umayyad period was mainly concerned with consolidating the power, the political power of Islam throughout the lands that were conquered during the early Islamic period. And then the text of the Quran was disseminated widely throughout the Muslim world. And then the hadith of the Prophet was penned down, and the opinions and the teachings of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, what we call the prophetic tradition, that was preserved through writing. Then when the Abbasid period started in the year 732 Hijri or 750 CE, when the Abbasid period started, the Muslims started to read books from other civilizations. That brought a lot of problems too, no doubt, because other alien influences came in, and that caused some mischief as well throughout the Muslim lands. But at the same time, the benefit outweighed the loss or controversy by far.
Gotcha. So is this what you refer to as the translation movement in Baghdad, or is that later?
Yeah, this started predominantly, although translations had already started in the Umayyad court in Damascus. There were influences from the Greek civilization. The Umayyad caliphs and the Umayyad ruling class was already exposed to medicine, Greek medicine, let's say, and other ideas from the Greek civilization. But later on, during the Abbasid period in Baghdad, this process of translation.